Hi, everyone. Devlin and Dennis, that was nice. Thank you. I really like the way you hold your gum so professionally.
Oh, no!
Beautiful.
No. I had to take it out. Sorry,
Dennis. Well, that's all right. No. I'm feeling a little frivolous tonight, so.
All right.
Is that better? Do I even need it? Anyway, it's nice to be here. Well, I'm just going to kind of... Oh, who's new? Who's new? I know... Well, three new? Okay. Well, I know, Lisa, you're kind of safe because you two ladies know what we talk about and do here and stuff. You've been to Sunday church, I think, once or twice. Have I seen your face at Sunday church? No? Well, anyway, if you hear something out of my mouth that doesn't sound like it's rooted in reality, don't pay any attention to it. Just disregard it. What I wanted to talk about, actually, was fall. Fall is here again. It's time to figure out my fall schedule and set my path for the year and figure out what I'm going to be doing and committing to and how I'm going to fit it all in. And I've been finding it increasingly more difficult to make my schedule fit my aspirations, let's say. And I've had complaints that I haven't been thorough in my follow-through on things, and I'm overextended, and I know I do suffer from trying to just have too much fun and squeeze too much in, and I've got a lot of things that I try to do both here at church and elsewhere. You know, I like to try to make Wednesday forum, and I usually make Sunday church. And on Thursday evening, usually Janie's choir practice, I make half the time. And Millie's classes are starting, and I usually, for a good dozen years or so now, have been committing myself to one of those. And many of you know that I'm in a 12-step program. I'm a recovering alcoholic, and I usually do 2 to 3 meetings a week, usually one of them sometime during the evening, Friday night oftentimes. Sunday night's a good night to squeeze one of those in. And then I kind of have these pet projects that I do and special events that come up. The Red Hot Chili Peppers are coming up Tuesday, and Grateful Dead played in Irvine a few weeks ago. And so you have to shuffle those in. So, you know, and I'm getting a little older and a little lazier. I'm thinking it'd be nice to stay home a little more often. And I want to, you know, invest more time in music and learn to play this banjo that's sitting there getting dust on it and all of these kind of things. And sometimes I think to myself, well, after a dozen years of Millie's classes, I ought to be able to graduate by about now. I ought to be able to chintz on that tonight or something. You know, I ought to be able to... Well, why do I need to keep going, is the question. Well, I have heard a lot of the lessons before, and sometimes I think, well, that's what I can kind of do a little triage on and keep the rest of my events going. I wanted to tell you my thought process on this a little bit. And to do that, I'm going to have to tell you a little bit about what it was like before I met Millie and what it's been like since. And the good news is, too, everyone, unlike last time when I spoke and I gave a wonderful discourse on the dark night of the soul, I'm feeling much better now. And so, by necessity, there'll be a little bit of that sprinkled in there, because that's, you know, how I like the counterpoint's got to be there. So. But I've been a spiritual seeker, and usually in, you know, all my life, and often in the worst possible directions, oftentimes through alcohol and other spirits, and geographical moves have worked good, too. And even different religions and fundamental religions and things. And for whatever reasons, you know, I kind of did, I get into a space of some depression and despondency and some loneliness, and this is going back about 1986, 87, it kind of started to come to a pointed head, let's say. And kind of was lonely and was unloved and was basically truly unlovable and was angry at God because he ignored me and wasn't helping me and was hiding. And I was forced to come to a new relationship with God. I was forced to come bring my confusion and my despair, and it just beat me down emotionally. And so I had to make a decision to basically just abandon myself to God and just abandon myself utterly. The third step of the AA program says it made a decision to turn your will and your life over. Well, that sounds much nicer than just flat out bedrock abandon yourself to God as you understand him. And that's what I did. I made a decision to do exactly as I understood that he wanted me to do. And the first part of that was he wanted me to stop drinking, which was pretty evident to everybody for a long time but me, but I finally conceded that fact. And then I understood that he wanted me to keep my job and transfer to San Diego. And at that time I was living in Spokane and had just about 6 months into an insurance underwriting career. And if I wanted to keep it, I had to move to San Diego and uproot myself and do all that. But I did that. And leave a family back there. I was also wanted to do it. So I moved down here and transferred. And then the next thing that I had to do is be willing to do the next indicated thing, whatever I could determine that might be. Well, the next indicated thing for me was to accept an invitation from a friend of mine, Doug and Ann Mann, to come to the forum one night. And I've told this story before, but I happened to come at the end of the year, about June, during class night. I think it was Tuesday night's class night or Thursday night's, and everybody was in here dressed up as Indians, and it just looked like mayhem, and I had not been prepared for anything and didn't know what was going on. And I walked in, and you know, I did come from a bit of a fundamental background and had this idea in my head and had been kind of taught that, you know, there is spirit and it's best left alone, thank you very much, and just keep a wide berth, you know. But I figured, you know, my friends recommended I come down here and see this, and I came down and I saw this, and fortunately, John Adler's wife, Karen Adler, was in the back and kind of looked at me looking very, you know, uncertain of what was going on, and she took me aside and kind of explained to me that it was class night, explained to me that everybody wasn't always dressed up like Indians, greeted me and made me feel welcome and sat me down, and I very, very immediately understood that, you know, there was no evil here. There was nothing of any, you know, danger or anything to be worried about. I mean, everybody was healthy and happy and clear-eyed and sober and laughing and having fun. And I sat and enjoyed myself. Had no idea what was going on, but sat and enjoyed myself. Now, I don't know how you got here or why. A lot of people come here, you know, with the hope of reconnecting with a loved one that's passed on or something. But I basically got here through my commitment to doing God's will as best as I knew it to be. And like I said, being willing to, you know, follow the next indicated thing. So I stopped drinking and I worked the 12 steps of AA, and he wanted me to have the faith to accept his help and follow his guidance. And his guidance seemed to be, to my understanding, directing me straight to Millie. And at that point, God said, let the education begin. And Millie immediately does what Millie does and encourages everyone, including me, to grow in love and spiritual attunement, which sounds simple enough. And she suggests that we get about doing God's business and the business of caring for others and for yourself, and doing life's work, to begin to learn how to listen and feel through your higher spiritual self and develop attunement, and all this stuff, of which I had no idea what she was talking about and what was involved. although I sensed that if one was to be sincere about trying to turn their will and their life over to the higher power as they understood them, and to become, you know, willing to do what God wants you to do, that you probably had to have some avenue of access to gods and to communication. So it sounded a lot like AA, I wanted to develop and maintain a conscious contact with my higher power, and I thought that God specifically and purposefully sent me Millie and had to exactly teach me how to do that. And he did. So Millie teaches that learning to be spiritually sensitive requires more than reading and meditating and fasting, of all of which I'd done prior. Learning how to give and receive love, and how to walk in balance and develop the discernment to know when spirit is speaking, rather than when my mind is merely churning. It became obvious quickly that God's education was going to take some time and attention. The development of the new ways of thinking and of viewing the world and of relating to life, it was going to require more than a couple of private readings with Millie and a once a week visit to church for an hour. It didn't seem to be God's intention that I was going to have a real easy slam bam, what they call a burning bush revelation to enlightenment here. Just didn't seem to be the plan for me. And developing attunement, as Millie has said in her book at least, anyway, it requires hard work and takes some time. But I envied the comfortableness and the ease and the wisdom that Millie has, and the ease and the comfort and the connection with what is that those people that had been studying with Millie, had, and the people that were working with her. And I envied that, and I made a decision I wanted that, and I kind of just latched on to Millie. Once in a while I make a decision that somebody's going to be my friend whether they want to or not. There are a few unfortunate souls like that. And usually they end up loving me, despite myself. And I did that with Millie. I decided that I was going to hang out near the door at the end of every Wednesday and, get a chance to talk and let her hold my hand and stroll. Very, very gracious. And, I believe that God wanted me to pay attention to her and how she does it and learn from her and do what she does. So, a few months later, I had the chance to take one of her classes. It was this time of year. I remember asking Vonnie, whether or not, she thought it was a good idea that I take one of Millie's spiritual development classes, Could anybody, even I, take a class and aspire to this? It was like, what do you have to do to be welcome? And she said, yeah, go. Oh. And I chose a night. Actually, I think I chose Thursday night class. And God said, let the adventure begin. Now, there's a section in the Big Book of AA, it talks about after you make a commitment to sobriety and start working it and start working the steps, that you get rocketed into a fourth dimension of reality, a dimension of life that you had no knowledge of. And after about my second class of Millie's, I truly was now rocketed into a whole nother dimension of reality that I had heard rumors of, but I had never experienced myself. And I'll just, one most telling example was my second class night, and really, in the circles, if you haven't been to one, we work in a circle, through spirit, really somehow orchestrates different people to kind of stand up, and spirit comes and works, and I was told to stand up, and I'm sitting there, another woman, I don't remember who it was, stands up, and then, like, I don't want to say magically, but just naturally, I'll just say quite naturally, there was a third individual here that came and was there, clear as could be. I could see it. I could see his little mustache hair, his little bald head, and he was beaming, and he was happy, and he was, it was the father of this other woman that was standing there. The woman was standing there in the flesh, and this other person was there, as clear as could be. And it wasn't until the next morning that I woke up and I said to myself, I think I saw a ghost last night. That wasn't quite natural, but it was the most natural feeling thing at the time. And you know what, just as an aside, spirits never shown me anything quite that clear again. It's kind of all reverted back to the nebulous kind of like work for it kind of stuff. But that was enough to convince me. The first lesson in spiritualism, one of the first lessons it really has us learn, is that awareness requires accepting the truth that there's much more happening than what you necessarily are consciously aware of, that there's a lot going on that you may not be consciously aware of, but is indeed truth, and it's there. And that the phenomena of spirit is manifesting in many, many ways, not only in those grand and glorious, I saw a ghost ways, but in breathing and grass growing, and really helps us learn to appreciate the simple miracles. Anyway, the size and scope of my whole universe just kind of exploded, and the adventure of seeking spirit took on new meaning for me, and I basically became like a spirit-seeking junkie, and I was going to every class I could, not every night, but I was going to a lot of classes, and I further recommitted my commitment that I was going to be Millie's friend, and whenever I had a chance to help her, I'd help her, and I'd come early and stay late, and I started to learn new things. Like, there's angel friends, and I learned that they like to help us humans, and that they're a little bit ahead of us on the trail of development. My angel friends are, you know, one or two steps above me. They're not so far above me that they can't relate to me. And they're not, you know, so matched with me that they can't really help me, but they're a step or two above me, and they know a little bit more. They're a little further down the road, and they can work with me from the other side to help solve my problems and comfort me and get me what I need. And that comforted me also, because in AA there's a concept of one alcoholic's helping another, which is, you know, one hand extending, helping the man below. And it's interesting how, you know, we come and newcomers are told, you know, somebody with 4 or 5 days is told right away, okay, now it's, you know, your responsibility to go help a newcomer. And, you know, they look at you like, what do I know? You know, I don't know anything. And, well, you know how to stay drunk for 5 days, and that person only knows how to stay sober for 5 days, and this person only knows how to stay sober for 3. So show them how to get through the next 2 days. And I kind of envision my angels kind of doing that, helping me along at a step-by-step pace. Anyway, you become aware of these angel friends and that you can call upon them and help them. And again, I'm not real swift with this, and I got to say, and I'd mentioned this before in the classes, Millie would be asking me to do things like what my feelings were, and I didn't know what feelings were or what was going through my mentality, you know, and I didn't know how to catch my thought and what was going through my mentality. And I remember one time Millie, this was after I'd been introduced to my Indian guide Winterwalt, you know, there were times when I was just so out of touch that Millie suggested at one point, with all seriousness, just think of them as a big dog walking there with you, you know? And just every now and then, look down and kind of pet the dog, you know? It was kind of like that. Take the dog to work with you, you know? And that's kind of how Millie had to kind of nurture me from ground zero up to the realization that I'm not walking alone, that spirit is there. So I'm a slow learner. And I'm not always in tune with God. Wasn't then, I'm not now. And I made a couple of, I'll call them missteps, I don't know if they were, but I moved away from San Diego twice. And I got to say, I missed the adventure of Millie and of the classes and of the circles and the tangible nearness of spirit that I experienced in the circles and the lessons of spirit and how to live an easier, more joyful life and the love and the friendship of everyone in the classes and in the forum and in the spiritual family. Missed that too. Irreplaceable. I looked hard for it in other places. But so I was felt like I was instructed in more ways than one to move back. Actually, two times. I moved back to San Diego two times, and I was grateful for the privilege of being able to do that, and to take Millie's classes, and to be in a situation where the contact is more real. So again, I kind of fully believe that Millie is my teacher, and that her work is designed specifically to help me improve my life and my life's adventure and how to attain the fulfillment of God's will for my life. That's her job. And I had a rather slow experience this summer. My summer romance didn't come until summer ended this year. And about 4 or 5 weeks ago, I met a woman and we've been building a relationship and it's going on. And, I'm trying now to explain my time commitments, and Wednesday night I'm not available because I'm at the forum. And, Friday night I go out to a meeting that I've been going to for 15 years that, is really very important to my sobriety and sanity. And, I got Thursday afternoon, evening, I'm going to be at work. And Sunday morning, I'm not around. I'm sorry, that's not, she starts to look at me like, in AA, there's a frequent question that people ask, especially newcomers. It's like, how long do I have to go to these meetings? And the answer is you have to go long enough until you want to go to the meetings. That's how long you have to go to them. And I'm trying to explain to my friend and my girlfriend, that I don't have to go to Millie's classes and I don't have to come to all this stuff, but I get to come here. And sometimes when I'm in my weaker, lazier moments, I forget that I get to come here. But I don't have to go, it's I get to go. And as long as Millie's here, and as long as Millie will have me, I get to go. It's as simple as that. I get to grow in awareness of and communication with my angels. I get to better understand how I and the angels are related and how available they are to help me in living. I get to balance and grow in harmony in my emotional and mental and spiritual and physical bodies, and I get to feel connected. I get to feel connected and known by what I call, the historical big hitters, the entities, the people that have, changed the course of history and continue to do so from the other side. I kind of fancy myself that I get to rub elbows with them on a regular basis in this time. I get to grow in love. I get to be in the most loving environment with others who are dedicated to elevating their love levels. And I get to share in the joy of seeing their lives enriched. And I get to do what I think God wants me to do. I put forth a little effort, a little willingness to suit up and show up, and to be teachable. And He's blessed me with the most wonderful teacher. Now, I know that Millie counts herself blessed, because she gets to hold class Monday night in Escondido and Tuesday afternoon in San Diego, Tuesday evening in San Diego, Thursday night here in San Diego. she gets to do that. And I know that she's so thankful and has asked God for the ability and the freedom to do that, and thanks God on a regular basis for her ability to do that. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue to allow myself to get to go to Thursday night class this year. And I'd like to go ahead and just leave it, not with a challenge, but just ask you to think about what do you guys get to do. Thank you.
Angels come disguised in all sorts of size, shape, and forms. Is that an angel? Mm-hmm. What do you think, kid? What do you think, Marcus? What do you think, Liz? Liz, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You know, like attracts like. If you are new here for the first time, it's going to be hard for you to believe this, but it's interesting how we can accept the earth to hang in space and the sun and the moon to come take their turns passing over. So if you can believe that, to be able to believe what I'm going to say, you know, Dennis never counts himself as being this great spiritual soul that could attract the highest vibration, because the souls that's free of the body attract to us through likeness. Again, nature's expression of that. If you're new here for the first time, please go ahead and take a look at how the fish swim together and the birds in the flock and, you know, and the sheep in a herd and the wolves in a pack and so on. So it's expression of God. Well, the expression of God is like attracts like. To realize that we have been able to see in class the energy of Jesus Christ coming through him. Was anybody in the class when that happened? All right, speak up, kids. What do you say?
It's happened more than once. Right?
You could look and see Jesus Christ shadowing over him. And yeah, we can say, well, we don't know what Jesus Christ looked like. How do we know it's him? Jesus Christ shows us the energy that we will recognize as him. That kind of explain it? And so like attracts like. Now, I'm not going to say Dennis is so, quote, all perfect as Jesus Christ was supposed to be, but I'm sure Jesus Christ never said he was perfect. He probably saw how imperfect he was, you know? It's only the people that are that are completely imperfect that think they're perfect, you know? So, and he's had many of the apostles come and you could see them with him. You agree with Annie Baker? That was in Tuesday night class when that happened, remember? So you heard a very humble talk here tonight in Dennis O'Donnell. Humble, but yet within him is this great man inside. But none of us here on earth are perfect. That's why we're here. No time does he claim to be perfect. But there's a little something in him that's been able to attract some very highly evolved souls. And I saw quite a few hands out there that waved to me that they believed that also. But we're all down here on this earth. We're making our way from here to the road to eternity. And if we look really close at ourselves, we can all find things that's wrong. So I just hope that Dennis, since that little talk gave you a chance to really look at yourself, that maybe you'll growl about yourself just a little less. But you should certainly be able to see if I've loved you. Well, anyhow. Well, why would I ever want to quit having classes or the forum, even when everybody doesn't come? You know, I look and I go, oh, why couldn't the whole world be here to see and experience Dennis tonight? To hear you and Dennis sing together. To meet this man that I just met tonight. Reese, make sure you meet him because he suffered with his knee like you, Reese. Why would I ever want to miss that? Well, anyhow, somewhere along there is what I want to say. Whatever it is, I will. But next week, guess what? We don't have a speaker. It's just that talker, Millie, next week. So please come and...